Joining us now is the man, Fred Taylor from the Patriots. What's going on, Fred?
Hey, how's it going? No nonsense time, baby.
No nonsense. Hey, you know, and that's a perfect transition, Fred. No nonsense. I wondered, watching that Jets game, why is Fred Taylor not in the game? You got off to a great start. You had a great run negated by a penalty. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't see you in the second half all that much. What happened?
You know, it was more so just how the flow of the game ended up going. We try and keep, you know, we try and keep the guys fresh as we go. And that's the by committee approach. And it's just, unfortunately, we got down, and that's the way the game ended up going. And, you know, going forward, we'll see how things turn out. But I'm always ready, and we'll just try and make the most of the opportunities next time around.
Well, I was doing my research here, and I found out that you were training in the off season with Maurice Jones-Drew and Thomas Jones and Julius Jones, all these young guys, Kevin Smith. So do you feel like you need to be preserved? I mean, if you're training with those guys, you're pretty much ready to go, right?
You know, I try and stay ready to go. You know, that's why they have us here. All of us as athletes, we should have that mindset. But I try and stay ready. And, you know, the coaches are smart. We're trying to do what's best for the team. And like I said, there's going to come a time when I'm going to have to be out there and get 20-plus carries or whatever it's called for. There are other times when somebody else is going to have the hot hand or whatever the case may be. But bottom line is, I'm always going to be prepared, always going to be ready to play. In the off-season training, that's more so just to develop my foundation, get out there, motivate those younger guys as well as motivate myself, seeing that I can still keep up with them. That's always a way to kind of push myself without having another excuse. So those are fun times. Those are fun times.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, I've heard some legendary stories about a few of these guys. I know Vince is a huge Frank Gore fan. You train with him. I've heard that Thomas Jones is an animal in the weight room, and people in New York and Kansas City have had to kick him out of the weight room because he worked so hard. Well, what were some of the stories that you got from those guys, or some of the things you learned from training with them?
Well, it's definitely an accurate story when you're talking about TJ, Thomas Jones. I mean, he's a bicep machine. He eats the weights. And those other guys, Frank Gores, the Larry Johnson, Kevin Smith, Maurice Jones-Drew, we all compete. We all kind of share little secrets on how to run the ball because we're friends. You know, we're friends. They've looked up to me throughout my career, and I enjoy looking at what they're doing and where they're trying to go with their career and what they're trying to get accomplished. So I don't mind dropping them a few nuggets, you know, just to try and keep them motivated. And the workouts are great, man. We compete against each other. Sometimes we'll put, you know, small wages down on certain sprint drills or pulling a sled, who can have the fastest time. It's all competition at the end of the day, healthy competition, which at the very end of it all, is going to make us all better.
Fred, you guys as prepare for the Buffalo Bills this week, suffer a pretty significant injury in your backfield as one of your guys, Kevin Falk, is out for the year, placed on IR. Could you expound a little bit? I know you talked about this earlier in the week, but what Kevin Falk meant to you and to this the group and to the team, and how, if any, does your role change now in your mind going forward, knowing that Kevin will not be around?
Well, you know, just to answer your question first and foremost about my role is the same, and it's going to always be the same. Whatever they ask me to do, I'm going to try my best to do it. I'm going to give 110 at it as far as my role is concerned. As far as losing Kevin and what he meant to me personally, I've been knowing Kev since 95 when he came to visit University of Florida. We kept in touch, always admired his game when he was down at LSU. The few times we played each other in our college careers, we would keep in touch. We had the same agent coming out. And Tank Black, and that was another way we were able to keep in touch, and as well as after he got drafted, coming up here to New England, playing against the team a few times, throughout the game, after the game. Like I said, we've always been in touch, and I've always admired Kev. He's always been a very good runner, running the ball. I love his moves. And then just to get here and see his workout habits, you know, being here 6 in the morning, he's maybe the first guy in the stadium. By the time I get here, and it's usually about 6:45 or so, when we have 8 o'clock team meetings, Kev has already done a 15-minute bout of Stairmaster, as well as another 10 minutes in the sauna, as well as stretching before anyone gets here. And nobody sees that. Nobody sees it. He's definitely underrated, definitely the best at what he does. And he brings a lot to the team from a character standpoint, not just a player. And we're going to miss that. We're going to miss the positiveness that he always had. But at the same time, our job here is to do our job, step up your game, and continue to try and be successful and win. So that's what it's all about, and that's what we're going to try and do.
That's an interesting story. You talked about him being there before everybody else. I'm wondering, when somebody is like that, and they're getting their work in, and they're doing things a half hour before everybody else, does that raise the stakes a bit? Does that set the tone and kind of force other people to follow suit?
You know, I think to a certain extent, to a certain degree, it does. Some guys can look at it and say, hey, that guy's crazy. But if you want to get to where he's gotten, or if you want to play as long as he's played, you know, there's no secret sauce. It's right there. He's showing you the blueprint, you know, for success. And some guys take hold of it, and they try and do those same things. You take Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, for example. He looks at all of our models on what it took to be around for this long. And Benny, he's a guy you don't have to ask twice to do anything. He's going to ask you, hey, man, you mind if I jump in? And then you develop a routine. A lot of people have this misunderstanding, and they tend to confuse routine with commitment. You know, a lot of guys are committed to be successful, but it seems and it comes across as a routine because you see them doing these things so much. But if it were a routine, you can fall off any day and just say, hey, I don't feel like it. But when you're committed, those tired days, you're going to fight yourself and you're going to get out there and do it. And I think that Kev had that down pat. And he's great at doing what he would do every morning. And you got to admire somebody like that.
Fred, in your long, illustrious NFL career, I'm wondering if you have ever been part of a team that has fallen into the trap of thinking that a win is an easy one. And I'm talking about the Buffalo Bills, of course, with the long streak the Patriots have against them. Or if you've been part of a team where you knew the other side was just taking you for granted. Do you have any stories from either perspective?
Well, I can answer the question this way, I guess. I understand the NFL and the teams that I've been a part of. I would always try and convince the younger guys or the guys that thought this team was an easy win. I would always say, hey, they're setting a booby trap. Don't walk over it. Don't fall for it. And I would like to also say that I've felt like I've been on the opposite end of that stick where I thought we were a team that another team would look over. Even coming here to play the Pats in the playoffs in 07, you know, hey, we're going to sneak up on them. You know, they're winning, they're undefeated. We're going to be the team to knock them off. You got to have that mindset. So, yes, I've been on that side of the spectrum, but more so than thinking, you know, it's going to be a cakewalk in the park. We're going to beat these guys. No, never. This game is amazing. This game is crazy. You can't fall asleep on anyone, any team.
Fred, you talked about being willing to do, you know, give your 110%, you know, for this team and whatever your role is. As a running back, you've been around a long time. You've been in different roles. From a premium standpoint, what's that, as the game goes on and we see the carries go up in a particular game for yourself, you can speak for yourself here. Does it get easier as you're getting reps during a game? Is it easier to get in a rhythm as a running back as you're getting consistent reps from different series to different quarters into different games over the course of a year?
My mindset has always been try to score on every single play. That was my mindset coming into the league. And then I had to learn how to run smarter as I got older, as I got more experience. And what I mean by running smarter, you know, playing the situation, looking at the down and distance, kind of setting the defensive guys up. You know, you take your tough three, you go north, get four, get eight, and out of the blue, you're going to turn around and turn that 8 into 20 or even a 60-yarder. That became my mindset. And as you go, to answer your question, I think the more you touch it, you tend to develop a rhythm. You develop how fast or how slow the offensive linemen are coming off and how they're mesh or how they're gelling that particular day and how the defenders are defending you. And then you get in a small rhythm and things tend to, you know, your vision tends to become a little bit more broad, a lot broader, seeing the holes, making those cuts. And then just having confidence and trust in the cut that you're going to make. So as the course of the game goes, you get into a bit of a flow. Your body's warm. The blood is pumping real nice and smooth, like a good quarter oil, you know. it's just one of those things that you feel that you can't be stopped. And that's what they mean when they say being in the zone, you know. So it helps.
Okay. Explain from a running back standpoint, a guy who's rushed for a ton of yards and a ton of touchdowns in Florida and now here with the Jacksonville and the Patriots. What goes through your mind when you rip off a 40 or 50 yard run and you hit that run and you hit it and you realize there was a penalty on the play and it's called back? I always try to watch how running backs react to that. Is the feeling the same every time? Do you ever get over that as a running back after ripping off a big one and realizing that, well, it's not going to stand and go back and replay the down?
It the feeling for me, excuse me, you have to, that's a tricky one. It's not tricky, but it's funny to me because depending on the point in the game. You know, you always say, let's start fast. And if you hit a team with a nice gainer early on and it gets called back, you're slightly upset because you want to get it, you know, you want to have that fast start. Statistically, that doesn't determine how I'm going to feel if it gets called back or not from a statistical standpoint. I guess maybe until the end of the game, then you have your what ifs. But throughout the course of the game, whether it's a 10-yard run, a 5-yard run, a 40-yard run, you just hate to get penalized. But now take it to the end of the game where you're tired, you've ripped one off after having X amount of carries leading up to that run, and you're tired, and then it gets called back. Now that's when it's trouble. it is big time trouble when you're huffing and puffing and you look back and you see that yellow sheet on the ground and it's going back the other way against you. Oh my goodness, that's bad. That's bad business.
That's when you start
more
to have,
so than at the beginning.
That's when you start to have some firm conversations with people, right?
Yeah, you put them to the side like, hey, come on, baby, you got to get it together. You got to get it right. More so at the end of the game than the beginning, because at the beginning you still have an opportunity to correct whatever mistakes you made, you know, in the first couple snaps throughout the course of the game. But at the end of it, the game is almost decided, and, you know, you don't want to waste those opportunities at any point in the game. But more so when you're tired, it really hurts because you're like, oh, I got to suck it up and try and do it again. You know, so it makes it tough.
All right, Fred, before we let you go, you got to satisfy our fantasy football owners out there. Are you ready to go for Sunday's game? If they got Fred Taylor on their fantasy teams, can they play him and not have anything to worry about?
You know what? I've never played fantasy. I don't know if I ever am. And the people that I usually meet out in public when they ask me the fantasy questions, the thing I tell them is, hey, coach your team. That's all I can say is coach your team. I really can't say if they should or if they shouldn't. They just have to do the best they can to try and lead their team to a victory.
Now, that was well ducked. So that's a veteran move.
I don't get into fantasy. I promise you I don't. I will never get into fantasy.
Well, how are you feeling, though?
I feel good.
Okay.
Just to answer your question, I feel good.
Okay, Fred, we always appreciate the time, man. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you.